Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. You know, a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure a lot of preachers are, especially when you pastor a church, you want to preach something that's going to be uplifting. You want to preach something that's going to make people feel good. Every once in a while, you got to preach what God tells you to preach. And when God tells you to preach it, you better preach it. Judges chapter 13, I'm going to read one verse and then we'll pray. Look at verse 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the songs. Thank you, God, for what you've already done around the altar, Lord. And I know, God, you're still working. God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. God, you help me as I try to preach this. Move me out of the way, God. Help me to do today what I cannot do on my own. God, I know I need you today, Lord. And God, I pray that the Holy Ghost just go out and just move through this church, God. You convict hearts. God, you touch hearts, God. Touch Christians, Lord. If there's somebody that's not saved, God, help them to realize, Lord, today is the day of salvation. God, no matter what I preach, the Holy Ghost can do what it needs to do today. And God, we praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. A person who calls himself frank and candid can very easily find himself becoming tactless and cruel. A person who prides himself on being tactful can find eventually that he's become evasive and deceitful. A person with firm convictions can become hard-headed. A person who is inclined to be temperate and judicious can sometimes turn out to be weak convictions. Loyalty can lead to fanaticism. Caution can become timidity. Freedom can become a license to sin. Confidence can become arrogance, and humility can become servility. All these are ways in which strength can become weakness. I want to preach a little while this morning about a man named Samson. Probably, I mean, y'all know me, I'm into weightlifting, and I've always loved strength athletes, and Brother Melvin grew up doing all this. There was one of the strongest men that they claim in history was a man named Paul Anderson from North Carolina. But Samson, no doubt, is the strongest man to ever live. When you look at, when they looked at Samson, and Samson goes up to the gates of the city and just rips the gates of the city off and carries them up a hill, they say, oh man, look at that man. When Samson kills a lion and just rips him apart with his bare hands, they're saying, well, look at what a man. When Samson is able to break bonds and is just rip ropes in two, look, what a man. What a man. And see, that's the problem on the outside. That's what a lot of us see. But what's on the inside? What's on the inside? Samson was separated by a Nazarite vow. In verse 5 right there, thou shalt conceive him, son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He had a great work ahead of him. He was going to be a deliverer to his people. He was going to be a deliverer. He was going to be somebody that they could look up to. The Nazarite vow from birth, if I'm not mistaken, there was only three in the whole Bible that had a Nazarite vow from birth. But this man that had, God had a plan for his life, and God had something for him to do. He was separated by a Nazarite vow, but he sought evil companions. Judges chapter 14, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me. Then his father and mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? See, the problem is a lot of us want to play with the world when we're supposed to be saved. A lot of us have a call on our life, and God wants to do something special through your life. But you cannot give up what the world has to offer. Samson had a vow on his life, but could not get away from those evil companions. I'm telling you right now, you ain't got no business running with a lost crowd. I don't care. Oh, preacher, I'm trying to win them to the Lord. You know what the old saying is? If you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. You can't run with the lost crowd. You can't act like the lost crowd. You can't dress like the lost crowd and be the Christian that God wants you to be. Samson was separated by a Nazarite vow. He was also spiritual at times. Judges chapter 13, verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at him in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshcol. At times he looked like the man of God that he was supposed to be. At times he looked like the man that God wanted him to be. When he was out there killing the enemy and destroying the enemy, that's the man of God. That's the one that God had called. But understand something. He was filled with lust. Samson's whole life, you go back and read in the book of Judges, his whole life, Samson did not have a problem with alcohol. You never find Samson getting drunk. Samson did not have a problem with other things, but Samson had a problem with lust. How about it, Christian men? How many? Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, Samson went down to Gaza and saw there a harlot that went in unto her, and it was told the Gazites that Samson had come hither, and they compassed him and lay wait him all night at the gate of the city and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. You don't have to do the act. Understand something that Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. But Samson went further than that. Samson went out. He was supposed to be spiritual at times. How many times do we come into the church house? How many times do we come into the church house now? And we come and God moves and we have a great service and we leave the church house and the devil jumps on us on Monday. Oh, spiritual at times. Let me tell you something. There have been times that this man taught Sunday school, and there have been times that he's filled that pulpit for me. There have been times that he looked like the spiritual giant that I know God wanted him to be. But he knows in his heart and understands something. God knows there were times that he fell. There have been times that I've got in this pulpit, Wes, and preached the house down, and the Spirit of God moved, and I look like the man of God that God wants me to be, and the devil jump on you. And I ain't only preaching to the men, I'm preaching to the ladies too. Spiritual at times, but filled with sin. Now you understand something. Every one of us battle this battle. There's not a person in this building right now that don't battle this battle. We come in and we can put on that show. We come in and we can look like we're supposed to look. Gavin can come in and stand up and sing and the house down and we shout it out and have a great time. But the devil jumps on him just like he jumps on everybody else in this building. Amen. Samson was strong physically when the Spirit got on him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them and bar and all and put them upon his shoulders and carried them upon the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Judges chapter 15, verse 14 and 15. And when he came to Leah, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands were loose from his hands, and he found the new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. That's a pretty good sized man right there. Judges chapter 16, verse 3. And Samson laid at midnight and rose at midnight and shut the doors of the gate. I'm telling you, that amazes me that somebody can have that kind of physical strength when God come upon him. But he was weak in time of temptation. How many of us can be spiritual, but a little gossip can get us? How many of us can be spiritual, but you can't, you got those certain sins, those certain things that just gnaw at you? I'm just going to get real. How many of us can be strong physically, but one look from a lady or one look from a man at the office can turn your head? How many of us can be strong physically? I mean, you can be a monster. You can be big as Big West there and be strong physically. But guess what? Samson was strong physically, but he let temptation bring him down. Some of us come in, I'm just going to get real this morning. A lot of people don't like this kind of stuff in church, especially when you preaching to church members. I mean, we can be strong physically. We can protect and we can serve and we can do what we're supposed to do. But yeah, a little bit of alcohol. We can be strong physically, but that temptation on the internet. And you know how because when you do it, you feel like a dog. Don't you know? I can just imagine every time Samson got into a situation like this, he's supposed to be the man of God. He's ripping gates off of cities. He is killing thousands of the enemy. And then all of a sudden, he can't even say no to a little 110-pound woman. And we all battle those little sins. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Let me tell you something, folks. We got men in this building and ladies in this building. Gambling don't bother you. Alcohol don't bother you. Lust of the flesh don't bother you. Lying don't bother you. Maybe gossip don't bother you. But it's something that gnaws at you. And the devil's going to make sure of it. Samson was mature and fearless in battle. Understand, so the Bible in chapter 15, he killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. But yet he could not say no. Like I said, to I was going to say one little woman, but no, it was multiple. Samson was blinded by Satan in sin. Chapter 16, verse 21 says this, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. We all know the story. He falls in with Delilah. Ain't it amazing that ladies don't name their little girls Delilah no more? Because that's a symbol of evil. He falls in with Delilah. I'm talking about the strongest man that ever lived, Jackie. He falls in with this woman. And this woman, they come to her and say, listen, you tell us where his great strength comes from, and we're going to give you a certain amount of money. I'll tell you how stupid you get when you're in sin. She is trying to kill him, Melvin. She comes to him and she says, Where do you get your great strength from? And he tells her one story, and she lays down, and he goes to sleep, and she binds him with the new ropes, and he's laying there sleeping. She said, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. He jumps up and just tears the ropes up. Comes back again. She cries and says, well, you lied to me. You don't love me. And she comes back again. Tell me where your great strength comes from. He said, well, if my hair is braided, and tells her another story. She does that. And she says, the Philistines be upon you. And he jumps up and he's got the great strength. He's still got the light ought to come on after a while. She's trying to kill you. The light ought to come up. Me and my son had a conversation just a few weeks ago. We work out in the mornings, and me and Brooke was talking about this. I said, it's amazing. There's people that his age, your age, Melvin's age, my age, Tommy's age, they're still out there running with the world and doing stupid stuff. How many of us are sitting in this building right now? The light ought to come on. Satan is trying to destroy you. Satan is trying to blind you. Satan is trying, he's going to take your eyes out. Samson, she kept on and wore him down and wore him down, and he finally told her the truth. Do y'all realize Matt who cut his hair? It was her. She's the direct cause of Samson having his eyes taken out. Now you listen to me. You keep playing with sin if you want to. Keep playing with sin if you want to, and Satan's going to destroy you. But the Bible says he began to grind in the prison. The Bible says they plucked out his eyes, Brother Johnny. But the Bible says, I believe in the next verse, that his hair began to grow. Yes, he was blinded by Satan. He was blinded by sin. But he was forgiven by the Savior, glory to God. Understand something. The Bible says his hair began to grow. And the Bible says when they put him in that temple and he was placed between those two pillars, that his hair began to grow. And he prayed to the Lord. And God forgave him. He destroyed more people in his death than he did in his life. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, guess who's in there? Samson. It's amazing to me. I've told y'all this before. It's amazing to me that God will forgive us for some of the stupid stuff we do. Amen. I'm not talking about before I got saved, brother. I'm talking about since I got saved. I'm talking about the stupid stuff I've done since I got saved. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, I realize that. I know he died for me. He forgave me all those stuff that I did before I got saved. Hey, but 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. Amen. Let me tell you something. Satan's done a good job wearing me down over the years. Satan's done a good job of causing havoc. Somebody in this building right now, somebody in this building right now needs to come up, make a decision. I'm going to get things right before I lose my eyes. I'm going to get things right before I lose my home. I'm going to get things right before I lose my health. I'm going to get things right before I lose my wife. I'm going to get things right before I lose my family. I'm going to get things right. And I'm not talking about playing around with God. There's a lot. Oh, yeah, there was no doubt, David. There were times in Samson's life that he played around with God. Oh, Lord, if you'll just forgive me. Oh, God, if you'll just, your Lord, I know I've done wrong, blah, 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 blah. Yep. We all do it. There ought to be a time that you get on this altar. You say a time for playing is over. Satan's trying to destroy me, and I can see it. And a time for playing is over. I was thinking about it as Gavin was singing that song. What kind of Isaac do you have that's holding you back from being the Christian you need to be? And understand something. There was nothing wrong with Isaac. Isaac was not a sin. Some of us have got hobbies that's holding us back. Some of us have got friends that's holding us back. Let me tell you, if your so-called friend in church is bringing you down, find you somebody else. What do you need to put on an altar today to be the best you can be? Samson was a weak Christian, but Samson died that martyr's death and is in the hall. God will forgive you. God loves you. God wants you. He wants you. Don't that blow your mind, Brother Donald Boone, that God wants you. Mike, even in all your stupidity, God still wants you. Gavin, in all your mess, God still wants you. God did not want Isaac God just wanted Abraham.
Amen.
And all he had to do, let me tell you something, the best life you could ever live. And let's just stop for just a minute. Imagine Samson's life if Samson would have done exactly what God told him to do. Wow. Some we'd have been reading about Samson as one of the greatest men that ever lived. But when we talk about Samson, Mel, when we talk about Delilah, when we talk about David, we talk about Bathsheba. I don't want somebody to mention my name 25 years down the road and have a thought come up on their mind, Chucky, about what brought him down. What do you need this morning? Come on, Gavin. I told my mom to sing that when I lay my Isaacs down one more time. God wants you. God loves you. God wants to help you. Somebody in this building needs to get on this altar before you lose it all. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name.